Saifa Ajani, thanks a lot for joining us on Press TV.
Thank you.
Obviously, you're a leading member of the Ennahda Tunisian opposition party. You've been an exile from the country for about 20 years. I mean, were you 23 years. Were you as shocked as we all were by the events that happened in Tunisia, or did you think that this was going to be an inevitability?
I think, in hypothetically, it's an inevitability. But in real terms, everybody was shocked. Because what happened, I think it's the will, and it's the will of God. Because when you see, I think, the best strategists and the best people who could really anticipate, they would not anticipate what went in Tunisia since the 17th of December. However, what occurred in Tunisia, it was a protest. It has been transformed into an uprising, then into a revolution. So the revolution now in Tunisia, we are at crucial. It's not over yet. It's something which is at its crucial times. Now we have the likes of Chaabour Bakhtiar, who is in charge, and it's exactly that. So when the Shah left, and he left Chaabour Bakhtiar. The current Chaabour Bakhtiar is Mohamed Ghannouchi, the current prime minister. This uprising, it belongs to the people. It's with every single component and the rainbow of the makeup of the Tunisian people.
I would like to ask you, I mean, you've been in exile for 23 years, roughly corresponding to the time Ben Ali's been ruling Tunisia. What has that 23 years been like for ordinary people in Tunisia? Because here in the West, we get the impression that Tunisia has always been the haven of stability.
I think it's a haven for tourists, but it's hell for its people. They always look to that there are 5 to 6% growth and so on. And when they see that when Bourguiba left, the debts was less than $6 billion for the country. Now they are roughly around $15 billion. Because of this free market, they have sold almost all the assets of the public sector, which belongs to the people. And that money raises falsely the growth of the economy and this 5% and 6%. They injected a lot of money like France and so on because they believe that Islamists, even if they are Democrats, even if they are moderates, they are not welcome in North Africa.
And you yourself were forced to flee the country, is that correct?
Of course, I'm a victim of torture and tortured in the time of Ben Ali. And I came here with the clutches and so on. And I even still now I'm paralyzed in my left foot. So
and this is because you were a member of an Islamic opposition party.
Yeah, because for us we are what's happening now. We did it before. We said to the people that this guy and this regime is bad to the country. Now people realize that it's the case. And people when they tasted what we have anticipated, there have been an unprecedented uprising in the whole history of Tunisia.
Why do you think this explosion happened now? Was it because of the quadrupling of the food prices, or
I think
pent up anger over many years?
This is a mafia style government, and believe me, if a fraction of what happened in Tunisia happened in Iran, or happened close to Russia or close to China. All those hypocrites all over the world, especially those who are preaching day and night about human rights, about freedoms, about liberty, about liberalism, and we believe, we share those values with them. They would, every single second, you would find it all over the places in the media, on the screens. Mm-hmm. But because it's Tunisia, and it has not been backed, like, for example, in Eastern Europe by the West, it was only the people, without West, without anybody. I'm not saying that we are against the West. We want really to have good bridges to mutual understanding. But this is an integral, a unique revolution, and even the State Department recognized that.
So it's a genuine people's revolution. I mean,
it's a genuine people revolution, and it doesn't belong to any political party or section. It belongs to all.
I mean, the people on the streets, I mean, compared to the Iranian revolution, for example, they seem quite small. I mean, hundreds, thousands. So I think some people were genuinely quite surprised how events unravel so quickly, given that there weren't millions of people on the streets.
Many people, first, they don't know that 4 million out of 10 million of the population of Tunisia, they are connected to the internet. That we have 520,000 of postgraduated who are unemployed long-term or forever, in addition to the other unemployed, that we have about around 3 million who are connected to Facebook. There are many people, I don't know how many, in Twitter. This revolution, it's tools. It's the mobile phone, it's Facebook, it's the internet, and even Al Jazeera and all the media, they took it from there. Even France 24, even others. The means and the wills, it's nothing, there is no assistance from anybody. It's the creativity of the people.
Are you annoyed that Ben Ali seems to have got away scot-free and his family? I mean, he's got a haven in Saudi Arabia now. It doesn't look like he's going to be held to account.
No, I can assure you that he will. That because this belongs to the people. It's not out of revenge. It's not out of grudge. It has nothing. This guy, according to Forbes, he got $5 billion in his account. From where he got it? $5 billion for him only, let alone the family and everything. And by the way, in the first few days, when you have seen some looting in some supermarkets, those supermarkets, people, they don't know that belongs to the mafiosi family, the Trabelsi's family. They were choosy and targeting that. And then now they stopped to do that. Now what's happening, it's from the Securitas, which has been structured and built and established by Ben Ali in order to make the people of Tunisia, you want democracy, you won't cherish or enjoy or taste any security after my departure.
At the moment, negotiations are taking place to form a national unity government. Do you think this... Yes, exactly. Yeah. Do you think this process is a genuine one? Is it a truly inclusive discussion?
First of all, this regime, he's the one who should go. Now, the prime minister is the prime minister of Ben Ali. The people, they belong to what they have done. They took the key portfolios. The prime minister, it's for them. The foreign minister, the foreign ministry. You have the interior ministry. You have the treasury. You have everything, all the key things as well. And petty things, they gave it to people who are not represented.
So the regime is still in place?
The regime is still in place, and they want to reform the dictatorship a little bit cosmetically, and then it comes back to its old instinct and how it can do best, which is repression and oppression.
Will the people accept that?
That's why today, people, they are demonstrating today. Because today, for us, this regime should collapse and we should have established a genuine democracy, but not a reformed dictatorship. Because no way, after all these sacrifices from every single party, from the Islamists, from the faithless with faith, left, right, or you name it, all of them, they are the fabric and they are the real fabric and the real makeup of Tunisia. What we want a government which is genuinely democratic, which put an end that no reproduction of any oppression or despotism in the future.
I mean, they have called elections within 60 days.
Yeah.
So aren't they putting in a mechanism whereby the future will be democratic? Do you believe in these elections?
We don't believe in this election for the simple reason. When you have the government who is going to take place to arrange this election, it's the old regime. When we have this president, this is called president, who is the head of the fake parliament and the rigged parliament, he's the one who is in charge. When we see that the constitution, which breeds oppression, which breeds the current constitution, which is tailored according to the needs of oppression and of dictatorship, they want it to be the reference of anything. We want to put an end from the whole history of Tunisia. This is a Tunisian revolution and this is a democratic one, and we don't want any interference from France or anybody else. We are to collaborate and to cooperate, but we want the will of the people to be respected and to be reflected in a new constitution that really sustain the rights of everybody, especially the fundamental rights.
Is that your starting point, a new constitution?
A new constitution and a new Tunisia and a new structure for the new for the state. We have to.
How is that going to happen?
Now, there is a struggle and there is the wills. We are at crucial times and sensitive times. What we want peace. We are against any chaotic situation. But to rob our youth, to rob Tunisia from the fruits of its revolution and to be true to those martyrs who died and who went, so their blood shouldn't be in vain. This revolution, we will not let anybody to rob us, whether from outside or inside, albeit we are in an extremely difficult situation. Now the problem, what is it? This model within an Arab world which is highly corrupted, governed with highly mafiosi style governments, they are scared to death that this model, it would make a domino effect within the whole of the Middle East. So those, Israel is scared, France is scared, all the people. So in one another, so when they preach about human rights and about democracy, it's only for them, not for anybody else. This universalism, we haven't seen it yet from France in particular, or from those who claim that they are the only democracy in the Middle East.
I do want to ask you about the reaction of the international community. But first, it seems as though there's quite a lot of chaos happening on the streets of Tunis and other Tunisian cities.
Yes.
Gunfire, shooting, looting.
Yes.
What is happening exactly, and who's to blame for that?
For them, they are fighting for their survival. So they told them, when people, you would hit them in the security, in their own security, and that's why there are some assassinations occurred, which have been targeted many, for example, the Nahda people. Some Nahda people, they have been assassinated. There are others who are looking after them.
So it's people close to Ben Ali who you blame for
the violence. It's the security itself. They are security. That's why they have arrested the head of the security of the palace of Ben Ali. They have been arrested not because anything, because they are involved to spread chaos in the country and to undermine the security of the people.
We're hearing reports that foreigners have been arrested in Tunis, and there are suspicions that these people are foreign mercenaries. Do you find these reports credible?
I don't really believe in foreign mercenaries. These people, they belong to the Mossad. And when we see, and in order to look whether they are or they are not, look at the leadership of Israel, what they are saying. They are saying what's happening in Tunisia is threatening the vital security of Israel and the national security of Israel. What we have to do with the freedom of our people. So what does it mean? Wherever there are Arabs or Muslims who are...
Why is it threatening the security of Israel?
Because they believe that... But frankly, let me be blunt. We know for a fact that there is a partnership between Mossad and the security services of Ben Ali. We know it as a fact. We know as well that the assistance within to try to counter this uprising and this revolution, whether in new media and how really to face the Facebook and how to lead the propaganda machine within in order to make the regime survive, are people who are Israelis. And we know it for a fact, for that. We have our sources because we are not really disconnected from the reality there. We know it. So we have a problem with the Mossad. We have a problem with Israel.
What do you feel they're trying to do? Create chaos or...
Yes, for them, because for them, it's when you say Ben Ali, it means theirs. It's their darling who is gone. So for them, they have lost. They are losing a pillar of their friendship or the people that they rely upon them. Even in WikiLeaks, they said that he's the only one who really making trade irrespective of the Arab world, the Arab League was saying. He's the only one who sit down at any time with them.
And what do you make of the response of foreign governments with a lot of influence in Tunisia, like France? I mean, France stuck by Ben Ali right till the end, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the Americans. What do you make of the international response?
First of all, I must say, really, that France is an integral part of with in the equation of maintaining and sustaining oppression in Tunisia and in many other countries. I really condemn the stance of France in this way, because it's not only they keep saying, they keep preaching about for us about fraternity, liberty. They have to teach themselves, especially the Sarkozy and even Chirac himself, who said, hey, what you want? You have food, you are okay socially, so maybe democracy is not meant to be for you. So these people, there is racism stinks out of what they are saying. I do believe North Africa and the Maghreb countries, it doesn't belong to France. We welcome, we respect France, we respect the French people, but we hate any government who wants to interfere or to be part of to try to abort the revolution or the wills or the aspiration, legitimate aspiration of Tunisians. Cooperate, we have no problem, but we have to respect the will of our people. Because the will of our people, everybody have to understand, and they do understand, that the tune and the mood of Tunisians is in favor of the rights of the Palestinians and the rights of any people who have been oppressed and against any colonizer wherever they are. So we have, look at, you have Gaddafi, you have the generals of Algeria, you have Mossad, and you have Sarkozy. Look at that, and you have Israel. So look at how it is. So our people, it's a really difficult and very painful process, and we know it's survival. It need, because they are putting pressure on us, on the Tunisian people, that A, you have to listen, or you have to accept, you have to choose whether security or democracy. And if you get your democracy, you have to listen to the will of the international so-called community, but it's the diktat of some superpower or regional power. We are not against anybody, but we want to live in peace with mutual friendship, but no way that to impose upon us anything.
Basically, very unclear at the moment what's going to happen. I mean, it could go down the road of a military dictatorship. It could be a democratic future.
I don't think the choice now is between a reform dictatorship that the Ben Ali regime. Now, the remnant of the Ben Ali regime wants it, or a genuine democracy. We are pushing for the second, for the latter. They want really to maintain a status quo with a soft dictatorship. We are against any kind or style of dictatorship.
I mean, some right-wing commentators, especially in the West, are bringing out the bogeyman of Islamism, and they're saying, yes. They're saying Tunisia could turn out to be an Al-Qaeda-style Islamic state with Sharia law and all the tourists kicked out. Is that going to happen?
This is really nonsense. These people, we know they are biased because of the Israeli... Because when they look that Israel is not happy, some of them, they try to tune up themselves according to the whim and the will of the Israelis. We can assure anybody. We don't... It's Tunisia, the Renaissance Party, is the only... party and movement they have the ideology, it's written, which is to reconcile democracy with Islam, because Islam reinvigorates and have an impetus in making a better democracy than it is lived even in the West. So we don't have anything. We are not asking for Sharia law or for... We believe in everything that comes in the Quran, and we are as Muslims. But we are not imposing anything. In Islam has taught us, don't impose and no compulsion in Islam about the deen itself and the faith itself, let alone of any political system or whatever. We don't ask anything. We want our dignity, the dignity of others, and how to live together according to the norms and the values that exist in the West as well as in Tunisia. I think we are playing a part, by the way, in the future, and it's shaping up. For me personally, I am wherever I am, I try to to do my best to contribute for Tunisia, for the Renaissance Party, for the Britain, for the Muslims in this country, for humanity. So I don't, because that's the teaching of Islam. I'm not. We don't live in a ghetto. We are not really partisan. We are not, the main thing is to be useful. And for me, I'm not really in a hurry.
Obviously you and the Ennahda party have been in exile for many years now. Are you intending to go back to Tunisia soon and play a part in the future of that country?
I think what I want to say really is that we are interested in the changing of the system rather than to govern. We want a system, a decent one, for anybody that reproduces justice, that reproduces the genuine democracy, that reproduces the respect and the inclusiveness of every citizen in Tunisia. The rest who governs is not my concern. And even to be there or to be here or to be in the moon, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Saeed Finjani, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and you're welcome.